Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 to 14, the parable of the wedding banquet. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those that have been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, ill-treated them and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their cities. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. So go onto the streets, corners, and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, the bad as well as the good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. He asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnawing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'"
Jesus is talking. He says, the kingdom of heaven is like. It is like being invited to a party out of this world. A party in the realms of heaven. Of a beauty and splendor that you have never seen before. He says it is like a king who was arranging the wedding of his son. All the people were invited, and he has been busy for months to get everything ready. But now it is all done. The feast can begin. His oxen and fattened cattle have been slaughtered. The choicest foods are ready to be dished up. A beautiful smell of grilled meat with fine herbs fills the banquet hall. The sizzling of the fat onto the heat source can be heard, and the scent of rich wine fills the air. The places are set, the tables draped with beautiful material. Exotic flowers adorn the tables and have been created in beautiful pieces on top of pedestals all over the place. Their fragrance adds to all the other aromas filling the hall. They stroke and caress the senses of every guest who enters. No expenses were spared in the preparation of this wedding feast, the wedding of the king's son. But none of the guests are there. They were invited, the friends of the king, the delegates, the ambassadors. They knew the feast was being prepared. They knew it was going to be anytime soon. They were invited and expected. But when the time came to actually show up, they were busy with other things that were more important and more pressing. It could not possibly be delayed. And so they came up with excuses of why they could not make it to the wedding feast. What message does that give? The king's son, the heir who one day will reign. We can't even imagine this scene happening, not even in this country, with the grandson of the queen. Imagine no one showing up to the wedding of Prince William and Kate Middleton now some years ago. The reporters would probably have a field day and would be quick off the mark to proclaim that not only the UK, but the world had voted with their feet, and this was to be the end of the British monarchy forever. Back to the Bible story, some of the people who were invited were so violently opposed to the idea of having to come to this feast that they got hold of the messenger of the king and actually killed them. Chaos happens when that was done. They killed the couriers with the invite, with the message. They killed effectively the postman bringing the wedding card. The king becomes so enraged when his messengers are killed that he burns down the city where these people live. Then he sends other messengers and tells them, just find people for this party. A similar story of a similar wedding banquet is read in Luke 14. And there we read that the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame were to be brought in. And when there was still space, the servant was told, go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in. Make sure that you bring them back, for none of those who were initially invited will take one bite of my wedding meal. But in Matthew, we read that once the banquet hall was filled up with people who did not even expect to come to this party, the king comes in and he sees one man who is not properly dressed according to his standards, and he throws him out. This is a story that leaves us with so many questions. What kind of king was this that people did not want to attend? Was he not a little bit over the top with his violent response? I don't know about you, but when I read this parable, I always think, how would the atmosphere have been after all that? How much of a party would there still have been? And after all this time of finding new guests, what has happened with the food in the meantime? Is it actually still nice to eat? Or has it gone off? And, you know, when your guests are late, it doesn't do the world of good to your food. How unfair was it to throw out the man who did not wear the proper clothes when he wasn't even expecting to go to a party in the first place? And of course, the most important question, where are we in this story? I think it is important to remember that this is a parable used by Jesus. It is an illustration that he uses. And I would like to lift out two elements. The first one is the invite, and the second one is the response. And what becomes clear in this story is that everyone is invited. The first group of people was invited and did not respond. The second group of people was invited because of that. But it shows that it is not just one select group that gets this invitation. Or as one writer calls it, this is an election of grace. And God's grace, as we know, is so much bigger and wider than we can even imagine. All are welcome. All are invited. God's grace is universal for everyone. But there is something that the invited ones are to do, and that is to respond. God's invite clearly states RSVP. Respond, please. You cannot just take on the invite and sit back and think, that's it. Something else needs to happen. The saying of yes. It is something active. Even if we cannot really bring anything to our own salvation, somehow we do play an active role into responding to the invite of God's grace. We are, as Paul calls it, we are to clothe ourselves with Christ instead of remaining our natural self. And so Paul says that in Romans 13. He also says how it can be done. He says, through baptism, we are clothed with Christ in Galatians 3. Or if we were baptized as a baby, it is through professing our faith at a later moment in life, before the people of God, before God, out loud, through confirmation or through coming into the membership of the church, a saying yes, a response to the invite of grace. Without Christ, we stand before God's justice. And what is God's justice? Well, God's justice would be absolutely just to throw us out from the party. God would be totally within fairness. It would be totally fair if God would not allow us into the party or throw us back out again. But being clothed with Christ, we stand before God as children, before a loving Father. Being clothed in Christ makes us sisters and brothers of Christ. It makes us, therefore, children of God. And God looks at us as a loving Father looks at his children. It's a little bit like going to a country where the sun is so bright and so beautiful and so strong that poor us from this part of the world cannot even stand that kind of strong sun. It is beautiful, we love the light and the warmth and the life that it gives us. But when we are engaged in water sports, especially surfing or swimming or whatever, we need to protect our skin all the time. And so one of the things that clever people have invented these days is UV protective clothing. And especially as a surfer, my son wears those kind of clothes because otherwise he just burns to a crisp. It is like that when we clothe ourselves with Christ. We protect ourselves in his love and in who he is. Or perhaps we can link it to wearing a life jacket. Our own clothes, when we fall in the water, will just drag us down to the bottom of the sea, drowning us and sucking out the life of us. But if we put on the life jacket that has been given us, if we clothe ourselves in that saving jacket, we will live. And we will actually have life in a different way. It is like that when we clothe ourselves in Christ. It is pure grace. And there are boxes full of this kind of clothing. It is freely handed out. But we do need to receive it. We do need to say, yes, I would like some of that, thank you very much. I would like that grace. I would like that clothing. I would like to put on Christ and leave myself behind. Thinking we cannot be bothered will have huge consequences. Thinking out our own ways, our natural self, and thinking that that is going to do it for us is a big mistake. Because what it does is that it keeps us thinking that we are number one, that we can have autonomy, that we can still do the things we would like to do, rather than giving over our will to God. Believing that other matters are more pressing or important, or perhaps thinking that we need to have our lives sorted out first before we can go to the wedding banquet, is an offense to God. His invite has been delivered. You and I have been called to come to this feast. The clothes to drape ourselves in are provided by Jesus Christ. RSVP, please respond.